We have to know who we are and know that we are not just defined by what we create and what we put on film and what we put on stage, but we're more than just that.
LaWanda Hawkins has performed as an actor and dancer across the country at some of the most renowned theaters in the industry. From Broadway Sacramento in Northern California to the Public Theater in New York City, LaWanda has graced the stage in pieces written by playwrights from Shakespeare to Lin-Manuel Miranda. Her TV and film credits have landed her on Netflix, PBS, and various commercials, and we were so very fortunate to have her in our short film screen test playing Devi, our practical, business-minded fitfluencer who keeps her eyes on the prize. It was such an absolute pleasure working with LaWanda on this film, and she's with us today on the podcast. Welcome to The Break Breakdown, LaWanda.
Hello.
Hi. So before we get into this conversation, I feel like it would be ridiculous to not just touch base and see how you were doing in this really strange, weird, horrible year 2020 and the coronavirus that we're in. So how are you? How's it been going?
It's been growing. Like, in the beginning, it was very, like, I had my first anxiety attack. I didn't know what it was. All I know, I was like hysterically crying. Then I called my best friend, and I was like, pray for me right now. And I started getting up. I started doing jumping jacks and planks. And I was like, I can't breathe. Is that a sign? What's happening?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the crazy thing about it is that you look up, okay, what are the symptoms of anxiety and what are the symptoms
right.
of coronavirus? And they're the same. So it's, I mean, I've had the same kind of moments. Like, we'll have like some dust circulating or something in the apartment, and
yeah.
I'll feel like a little tightness in my chest, and I'll be like, well, okay, this is it. Like, it's,
right.
yeah. But we've been getting through it. We've been going through it. So you went to school for dance at the University of Buffalo, correct?
Yeah.
So I have actually been there. I went to Muhlenberg College, and I was in the theater and dance program there. And the dance program went to ACDFA there 1 year.
Nice.
And yeah, and I was so blown away by that. I just remember that being such an incredible experience and thinking that the facilities were gorgeous, and it's such a great dance program. So I would love to have you tell me about your experience, I guess, with dance maybe growing up, because you and I met in an acting capacity. But we're both dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know about your experience with dance growing up and then how it eventually led you to theater and film.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a story to be told. It's long. I'll kind of make it short.
We've got time.
Yeah. So with dance, I started, I live in Rochester, New York, and I started really dancing on my back porch, backyard with family members, making up choreography and coming down and showing people it, making people watch and look at our movement, entertaining babies and uncles and nieces. And so it started there. And then that blossomed into like I joined a group called Boricuan Dance Theater. And mm-hmm. that group was predominantly Spanish, so it was a lot of like doing different types of like folklore culture dance movement, like bomba, la plena. We did Latin jazz, we did salsa, we did modern, we did all types of like infusion styles, we did African as well. And that group really helped me a lot on like growing and knowing different types of like styles. But before I got into that group, I also was dancing in a church. I was doing liturgical dancing. So I started doing that, and then I moved to that group. And then I also went to, once I went to college, I started getting my like technique and all that stuff in there. And after my experience in college, well, during my experience in college with dance, my best friend, who's still my best friend at right now, he asked me to audition for a play called Talk to Me Like the Rain and Let Me Listen by Tennessee Williams. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool, I'll do it. I was like, I'm scared, blah, blah, blah. He was like, no, do it, do it. And I was like, I'm not an actress. So I went, I auditioned for it, and I got in the play, and the character really struck a chord in me, and it lasted for many, many years. I still think about it, and it's like, if it wasn't for me, because I will always watch like movies and different types of things and be so influenced by it and so like entertained by all different types of art. But it was just like art wasn't, I wasn't giving like the opportunity of doing the arts right away because of money and growing up with not much. So when I got the opportunity in college to do that role, it led me to travel the world, and dance also led me to travel the world. And I just feel, you know, blessed to have come across that play and come across to knowing that I'm more than just a mover, that I like through my body, I tell stories, but also through my voice and through my humanity, I can also tell stories. And I just feel very blessed to have walked in that character's shoes for that moment in time. It taught me a lot as well.
What did it teach you?
Because in college, I was in a different space. I was struggling a lot with, and I'm not saying some of that stuff it's not like all that stuff is already healed, but back then it was a big time of like self-image and how I looked and how, you know, do I fit in? Do I not fit in? I never wanted to like fit into like the program at my school. I felt like I was always forced to be molded into like a concert dancer, and I wanted to be a commercial dancer. And and I guess my sense of, you know, rebel-ness wasn't quite accepted. I didn't have the best experience at that school. So I wouldn't say that, I didn't have the best experience there.
You know, it's so interesting, because I've talked with Sarah and Jillian and Kennedy so far, and I'm going to talk with David after I talk with you. And I feel like each one of those conversations, we've each had some kind of discussion of either, you know, someone has told me a story about not fitting in, or feeling like this wasn't made for me, like whatever this was, whether it's a program or a group of some kind, a job, whatever, this wasn't made for me. And then going around all of these systems and structures and institutions to find your place. And, you know, the more that I talk to everyone, the more I think this is, at least from my perspective, the norm. Yeah. Even though when you're that person trying to find your place, especially at a university or in an academic setting where, you know, structures and systems are really intense in academia.
Yeah.
You know, it's really intense to be like in a program where you're comparing and you're compared.
Yeah.
And to have any kind of sense of, like you said, rebellion to want to do something else, or to say like, hey, I want to do commercial theater, like, or dance, you know, when that's not really the thing that's held up. That's
right.
That's a lonely place to be, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, with that play that your friend asked you to be in, why do you think he asked you to be in it?
He told me, he was like, that there's more to you than you think. And he was saying that you're not meant to just tell one type of story. And I was you know, taken back by that because I was also very like quiet. So like the only way I like, oh, this is getting me like emotional. But
This
like,
is,
like the only way like I would like express myself is through like doing like the arts and stuff. So.
You know, I hear that so loud and clear because, you know, I've worked with you one time on Screen Test, and you and I have only been in the same room together twice, right? For rehearsal and then on the day of the shoot. Because we didn't have really an audition process. It was self-tape and all that, and it was a quick period on set. But I can absolutely corroborate what your friend said in that you have so much richness to share. And what's interesting about you saying like, oh, that's you know, I was quiet and so I would express myself this way. It's like I used to think that I had to spell things out for people. When I was a younger artist, like in my early 20s and coming to New York, I used to think that I have to spell things out for people to be like, okay, and I talked about this on another episode, like, okay, I'm fun. You want to work with me. So now I'm going to do fun things that make you think you want to work with me. When really, I could just have walked into the room and been myself and probably found connections. Because there's so much that our bodies and our beings are transmitting in every single moment. You know what I mean? So that's really interesting. What an incredible gift for someone to say to you, I just see that there's something that you have to give, and here's a place for you to try it out if you're into doing it. That's no wonder he's still your best friend. So your website says that you came to New York City to pursue your dreams as an artist, to grow as a person, and to conquer your fears and doubts. So I'm wondering, what fears and doubts did you come to New York City with?
Oh, so many. Well, I worked three jobs to get to New York, so I was like, I'm going. I don't care if it's not enough with my suitcase in the bag, I'm going. So I had to get out of Rochester. There's nothing there. I was stifled. But I came with, you know, the baggage of just not feeling like I had all the skills that I needed to like take on the arts. I feel like I learned so much more about the arts when I got to New York City. Like, as far as like how expansive it is and how rich it can be, because I feel like that experience with college kind of like stifled it a little bit, until I, you know, got into that play. And then that blossomed a whole new flower. So I was coming to the fears I was coming with was, you know, like not thinking I was equipped enough, not thinking I was prepared, and not thinking that, you know, I'm like, oh, how I'm gonna fit in? What's my image? What's a brand? Like all this stuff. I'm like just, oh God, how much weight do I have to lose? And oh, like it, you know, do I look acceptable? Like it's just, it was a lot that I was going there with, and you know, like. Like other types of like traumas as well, but like this was just like a lot. It was a lot.
So it's really interesting because did your college program kind of build that out for you as far as like, okay, when you get to New York, you need to do this, and like have kind of a prescription for that? Or were they more like, or did they have that prescription? Like if you wanted to be a concert dancer and you were like, well, I'm going to try something else. So they didn't really give you those steps to take.
Like they, I feel like they had the mapping out of concert dance, but not the mapping out of commercial dance. Like we recently, me, my two other best friends, we had a conversation with the school board actually, because they were asking us. They emailed my friend and they was like, oh, we just want to ask you if you were had any like confrontation or felt like you were being racially profiled in the program. And I was glad to get on the Zoom call and talk about my story. And I had a full list that I needed to get off my chest about that program and how I felt as a Black woman in that program, which it wasn't many of us. It was two at the time where I was there. So that was another thing too, the ignorant questions I was being asked and the all that nasty, gross stuff. And it was great getting out of there. And I felt like because of, I just felt like they weren't with the times. Like no casting directors was coming there looking for that dance department. It was just like, if I would have went to school in New York City, I feel like I would have been more prepared for the industry than going to school and where I went.
Yeah, it's interesting because Kennedy and I don't know if you know this, but we actually went to the same school and graduated different years, but went through basically the same program. And we were just on the last episode kind of laughing about how it was a great place to learn how to think and kind of artistically, holistically look at art and practice it and get better at it. But as far as like the tools needed for, you know, like we didn't necessarily like leave with an audition book and all of our songs to sing, you know what I mean? Which is a big component of more BFA programs. And we went to a BA program. So I had a great college experience and, you know, I met my husband there. So like all's good. Yeah. but it is, I think, a tricky transition to go from that world of theory, you know, of what we think works and then go to the real world. And it sounds like, yeah, it just sounds like even that theoretical world of academia that you were in didn't really, I don't know. It sounds to me like from what you're saying is that it didn't really see you. They didn't really see you and they didn't really, because what's interesting, that's how you felt. Yeah. Because what's interesting is the way that you talk about the dance group from your childhood before school.
Yeah.
Is just, it sounds like you had so much more of a growth experience there that was a positive one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still have the same fears and doubts that you had when you came to New York? Are they different?
They're somewhat different, but as far as like me, I'm still like growing as an artist and growing and getting to know more and more and more about the business. And I'm still relearning and redoing marketing and figuring out the right tools to brand. So I feel like that's going to be an ongoing experience for me. Hopefully not too long.
Me too.
So I'm still figuring it out along the way.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, again, I wasn't really taught anything about branding in college and then kind of figured that out in the real world. And by figured it out, I mean, like, I knew that was something I was supposed to do and did it very poorly. But I think it's a really, it's a complicated thing for artists because, as you said, like, we're growing, we're changing, we're adapting, we're picking up things from here, we're letting go of things from here, we're trying to, you know, we're fluid, man. Yeah. We're not like, you know, so to then try to wrap around some capitalist idea of marketing to make, you know what I mean? It's almost, it feels counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like, and I don't know, I'd be really interested to hear what you think about this, but do you feel like that whole marketing aspect influences you as an artist? Like, oh, I can't do this or I have to do that? Or is it that the artist persona and the, you know, marketed brand persona kind of battle it out?
Yeah, I definitely battled it out with the marketing persona and me as an artist. And I'm just like, oh, do I have to post this? Or, oh my God, this feels gross to post this. And I'm just, I don't know. I feel like it just makes me feel uncomfortable to post certain things. And but then I feel like if I don't post, I'm never going to get myself out there, or maybe it's also is because I'm caring about what people are thinking in somewhat shape or form, whether I say it or not. And also with everything that's happening with within the Black community, I was also like, oh, I'm definitely going to speak about this no matter if people unfollow me or the people who are like, you know, in the business are looking at my page and they're thinking, oh, well, whatever they're thinking. I didn't care at that moment because I was also told that you shouldn't post anything political on there or controversial. And I'm just like, well, in this moment in time, I don't care. But other
And the thing that I hate when people say with like the Black Lives Matter movement, I hate when people call it political. Because it's not political. It's literally a moral, a morally just thing. Why are we, there's no disagreeing. You know what I mean? It's like, I hope that we're moving into a time where that stuff, like people saying don't get political, like, man, everything's political.
Yeah,
you know, our lives are political, our experiences are political, and you know, no one should feel like they can't say what they believe in,
right,
and have that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So speaking of someone who doesn't mind posting on social media, I want to talk about your character, Debbie.
Okay. I know! So opposite.
I'm so opposite. Okay, so I would love for you to talk a little bit about Debbie.
Okay.
Tell me about her.
So, she is so courageous. She's so outspoken. She's real. She's about it. Like, she's like one of those girls where it's like, if someone's bullying you, she's gonna jump right in and figure it out for you.
Yes.
She's a go-getter. She's extra, extra like confident. And I was like, and when I was like diving into her, I'll make like a list of like similarities and dissimilarities, and like some of the stuff that was in the dissimilarity column, I was like, how is this dissimilar? Like, this is crazy. I was like, that means I have to work on this. This character is like showing me what I need to work on because she is so like amazing. I just wish I had someone that like how big her confidence is, like where she can like walk into a space and be like, I know I got this. Like, I love that.
Yes. And you know what's so funny too is like, talking about the energy, you know, like earlier in the conversation, we were talking about the energy that we kind of emit before we even say anything. Like, we don't have to say anything. What a different energy between Debbie and Caroline, who you would presume like they're both confident, but in completely different ways, where like Debbie is, I think, an unshakable confidence, where as Caroline, you could like throw one hair out of place and she could lose it at any moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you go.
No, I was going to say, it's funny that you said that because like she's the type of person that's like, she doesn't let her softness show on the outside. And if it does, it's for a split second. Cause like, oh, I love that.
Yes. Yes, I did too. You did such a beautiful job at letting those little moments come in, and oh man, I can't wait for you to see your work in it. So you talked a little bit about how you prepared for the role in the similarities and dissimilarities. But I also wanted to ask you, so when you came on to set, you said, I forget exactly how you said it, but you were like, I'm Debbie. And we were like, great, this is Debbie. Like, we're not gonna say LaWanda, we're not gonna say, you know, whatever. We're gonna say, okay, Debbie, you're up, you know, and use your character. And I assumed that this was part of a method acting technique. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong in that, but could you talk a little bit about, you know, how that helped you or was part of your work and the techniques that you used to prepare for Devi and then also what you did on set?
Yeah, so actually what I was taught was all the technique that you learn within acting, it's like you're building up a mini toolbox to be able to pull from all of them to what you think you need for this character, for this role. So I personally was pulling from little things of everything that I've learned within my time in learning technique of acting. But the reason why I wanted to like just be immersed in that name is because I was also doing it for a couple of weeks before even being, you know, filmed. Because I personally felt so uncomfortable with the dissimilarities that I needed to like sink myself in and be like, no, figure out how to be comfortable with that. So I was just going by the name also to just really sink my teeth into her life and sink my teeth into like how she walks around every day being her fabulous self.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so interesting because there is, as actors, there is this like fine line between what's actually happening in your own body and what you feel like should be happening in the character's body. And when that doesn't translate or sorry, not even translate, but when that doesn't line up, you know, like, oh, this character is happy and I feel happy. This character is energized and I feel energized. It's like, yeah, you kind of have to psych yourself into it. And because it's film and the camera picks up everything, like there's really no faking it.
Right. And that's why like what I'm creating, I create with such well, it's like I try my how can I explain it? It's such a weird process how I create, but it's I go from like pictures to like doodling to like creating little things. Like it's like I start from the ground up, from like having my imagination just as wild as a child to like now like honing it in as this character and how she thinks. Yes. And how she breathes and how she goes about her day. And
yes,
yeah, so I feel like the like going on set was just me being open and trusting the work that I did with Devi and allowing anything that you would throw at me or the actors would throw at me, just have like moment to moment truth within my reaction to what they're saying to me. So
you know, it's so funny as you're describing that process. First of all, I just kept thinking about Craig, my husband, in college. He would always do collages for his characters before anything else. And I'm thinking about the work of like how sometimes people build outside in and sometimes people build inside out, right?
Yeah.
And I remember being an actor in a show. It was off Broadway and I was playing a character who was like basically out of The Sopranos, you know, like over the top Marissa Tomei, but more serious, you know what I mean? Like Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny, but more serious kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I remember it was such a, there was a lot of like, there was some dysfunction, I want to say, in that experience. And I remember one of the actors telling me that one of the other actors said he didn't know what the F I was doing because I wasn't doing an accent at this early part of the rehearsal period. It's rehearsal. And also for me, I felt if I started putting on an accent, I was going to start putting on a character that was a stereotype or like shallow or, you know, like not like I was going to make her a caricature. Okay. And, you know, and that's just where I was, was just my process. And I was like, I need to know these lines. I need to know these intentions. I need to start feeling it in my body, and then it'll come through my voice. Right. And that's exactly what happened. But it's really interesting. It's like, that is a kind of like inside out thing. Mm-hmm. That I had to go, that I had to process, that someone else is like, come on, lady, speed it up. Mm-hmm. I need to know how you're gonna, whatever. Right. Fine. But I'm just saying, like, I completely relate to that, of like kind of picking different pieces of artistic creation and kind of piecing the character together little by little.
Right. Because I feel like when you're talking about creating a character inside out or outside in, I definitely flip the both of them. Mm-hmm. Because if I do the other, I'm also doing it in reverse with the same character, just to make sure that I'm playing with all the dimensions that can possibly be had in this one person. So I think my process of doing that is similar to what you're saying about yours. So like, I think it's important to go both for me and what I do.
And also as dancers, it's like the body is, mm-hmm. It's almost more expressive sometimes, right? Like you can or we can be so in tune with our bodies.
Yeah.
That, you know, I remember certain characters that I played in college, like would play with, her wedding ring, or like, you know, so, like little tiny things. And those little things can also drop you into the moment as an actor. You know, it's so funny. We started talking about comparison a little bit earlier, and I've been thinking about comparison a lot today, mm-hmm. because as we get closer and closer to screen test coming out, and I'm so excited for you guys to see it. And I'm so excited for everyone to see it. Like, I'm so proud of it. I am proud of you guys. The feedback I've gotten just on all y'all's acting is like, wow, you cast amazing people. And I was like, I know. But the closer we get, the more anxious I get, which is something that I have to keep reminding myself is absolutely part of the process. And a lot of times I get anxious because I start comparing with fake people in my head. And I don't mean like shallow people. I mean like people that don't exist. You know what I mean? People that I... Yeah. So I guess I'm asking, because I've been thinking a lot about comparison, if you've ever struggled with comparison in this way, in this industry.
Oh yeah. Like I try not to do that as much as I, used to do that. But I feel like there's moments that when it comes across, and it comes across hard, but mm-hmm. it's not comparison as in like I'm bringing someone else down. Like when someone else is reaching their seeds of like success, I'm literally ecstatic. Mm-hmm. But then it comes down to also like, wow, I hope that energy that they have up there at the top of the ladder, I hope some of that trickles down to me so I can like harness some of that energy and keep climbing my way up there to, you know, see what the mm-hmm. roses look like up there, stuff like that. But I don't like tear myself down to the point where it's like I have no skeleton left of myself.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But I
can't say the same.
Right. When it comes to comparison. But
yeah.
But other things I definitely do. Because I try not to, and I think this started with dance too. I try when I'm dancing, I will stand next to anybody. I don't care if you have the 180. I don't care if you're like the top notch. I wanna stand by you because I wanna grow. And that's how I think with mm-hmm. acting. I wanna be mm-hmm. with people who are better than me so I can grow, so I can like keep tossing this ball and I'm not dropping it because you like are like swinging like 20 balls at one time, and I love it. So
Yes.
I just want to grow from
Yes.
it.
You know, you're so, oh God. Okay, so you reminded me of something I used to say, but apparently forgot, which was I always want to be the worst one in the room, you know, because like what you're saying, like if you're not the best, then you're going to be around people who are better than you and you can grow. And I think that what gets distorted for me, and actually part of why I wrote Screen Test, I think, is this comparison thing that happens specifically on social media.
Oh yeah,
Because
that hits
if
home.
I'm, because yeah, like, because I'm thinking too, if I'm in a room, if I'm taking a dance class or I'm in, you know, any kind of a class that's creative or whatever, just any kind of a class, and someone is inspiring to me or has like amazing technique or is coming across a certain way that I'm like, oh, I want to pick up on that. I never in that moment am feeling angsty or anxious. I'm always inspired, right? In when I'm physically in the room with them. But then I go into my little light box, you know, from Apple, and I start scrolling, and all of a sudden I'm disconnected from my body. I'm disconnected from who I am and what I'm doing. I'm in a mindless scroll, and all I see is like skinnier, prettier, better skin,
Oof.
most beautiful apartment, life event, life event, life event, life event, life event. And I feel like the, yeah, I don't think, like, as you're talking about, you know, being in a room with another dancer, I don't think this thing that I feel, this anxiety that I feel that somehow I'm not keeping up or somehow I've fallen behind or somehow everyone knows. Like I get in my head, it's like, well, somehow everyone knows that I am a joke. You know, like, right?
I totally understand that because like I because I came into the both industries, dance and acting, very late. I wasn't doing this when I was a kid, like most people do have the chance of doing. So I'm constantly playing catch up with both forms. And like I just came to like a moment of just like alignment. It was like, okay, Lawanda, this is your thing. You're always going to be, learning something new every time you approach something, because it wasn't like you were doing it for since you were like 3 or whatever, or 10. Like, but
Like there are people who are groomed for a certain path their entire lives. And right. So what was that? How did you come into that alignment? Was it just a lot of moments over time? Or was it a light bulb? Or yeah, how did that happen?
It was a lot of moments over time, because even now I think I'm like, okay, I need to continue to train and my acting, and continue to train and my dancing. I need to get better at this in dance. I need to get better at this in acting. Oh, I need to read this book in acting. I need to read this thing. And like it's just like a constant like learning process that I'm constantly going through. And sometimes it can be extremely overwhelming, because I start to feel like, well, do I have it? And am I enough? You know what I mean? But that's a constant like back and forth, like juggling that. So, but I constantly keep myself going, and the constant grind of like the hustle of getting further than where you were last week or yesterday.
And you know, I've been thinking it's so serendipitous that we're having that this conversation is leading down this path because I've been thinking a lot about that Ira Glass quote about having good taste. And do you know this quote?
No, but I like the beginning, how
Sydney?
you started it.
So I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's essentially he talks about, you know, everyone starts out in this artistic, creative, whatever career you're in because you have good taste. You have a sense of what works, what's good. And there's a gap between when you start out and there and a gap where you'll make things that don't live up to your taste, like where you won't have the skill yet or the technique yet or the work under your belt to actually make the thing that your taste, which is why you're in this, why you're good at it, why you've got this momentum, is telling you that would be good. So he says, you know, the only way to bridge that gap between where you're starting and where you can see and where you want to get to is by doing more work, whether it's like one piece a week or whatever. Just do more work, and it doesn't matter if they fail, and it doesn't matter if it's bad, and it doesn't matter if no one likes it, because what you're doing is closing that gap so that one day, like, your skills and your technique will align with your taste, and you'll make the thing that you have been wanting to make your entire life. Does that, I mean, that to me is like what I need to keep remembering when I get anxious about, are they gonna like me? You
Right,
know, which
right, right.
I who I mean, you know, I try not to think that way because, like, I really don't want to coach my brain down that neural pathway. But like everyone, but everyone does, you know, everyone does to a degree. Like everyone, yeah. So that's helpful for me in being like, okay, well, if I make something and no one likes it and no one likes me, that's check one down. What's the
Right,
next thing?
right.
You know?
And I think that's why sometimes I don't do my own work, is because of those thoughts. But when I do other people work, I don't have those thoughts, because I feel like when I'm having those thoughts, I'm like, is this me or is this the character? I try to really just focus and harness in on what the truth is of the person that I'm working on, because that's it's not about me, it's about them. So,
Right.
yeah.
And that can help you kind of separate out from the performer brain in the moment to the character brain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What influences have most shaped your approach to your work?
Oof. The people that I consider my friends and my family, and various artists in the business, like all like I can't name just one, but all of them, I wanted to say all of them that inspired me. Because I look at like some of these films and TV shows, I'm like, oh my God, they're so good. And I, like I said, I always just look at it and just like hope that that juju rains on me. How powerful they are, and they're like scenes, or in their monologues or whatever. Like, but so yeah, so that influencing me, that influences me, my family, my friends, life. What else? I hope I'm not. Oh, children. Children influence me all the time. I love watching my nieces and nephews and cousins like do things, and I'm just like, you know what? That's great that they're doing that. And I look and I take it in, and I'm like, okay, that's gonna be in my toolbox, and I'm gonna need that one day. So like, yeah.
I can so relate to that because my daughter is 20, what is today? 20 months old, 21. Anyway, she's one.
She's so cute.
And thank you. And you know, talk about presence. Talk about like absolute commitment to the moment, these kids. And I don't know how young your nieces and nephews and cousins are, but I can imagine that like also seeing them grow up from babies and all of that, like seeing them grow and get more courageous and all this. Yeah, kids are the eternal inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that I'm constantly redefining success for myself.
Same.
And yeah, and I'm in a weird place right now where I'm not sure what it is. I think I know what it is, but it feels a little nebulous to me. So I'm wondering, what does success mean to you?
Oh my God, that is a deep question that I can say to myself in the mirror, and then it's like when someone else asks you're like, let me be modest.
No, don't be modest. I say it, well, say whatever you want. I mean, you don't have to tell me anything, but I feel like success is so has to be so personal. It has to be so specific because if it's not, we're on that comparison track. So, I mean, another way to ask it, I guess, would be like, what is important to you to achieve for yourself?
Utmost level of continuous growth with my artistry. And on top of that, just being able to take care of people that I love and tell various different, like outrageous to the smallest to the biggest stories ever. And just be able to like tell the little girl that I was then to be like, okay, look, you did it. You just gotta stay focused and keep working hard. And then influence millions of people. Like it becomes more about, as you're doing this process and wanting to be successful, it's like it starts to become more or less about you and more about how are other people being inspired by what you're doing? Because I think that's very important, especially if we want to tell the story of the tribes, like of different types of cultures and different types of avenues, because everyone needs a voice. Like, and I feel like we need to honor that and be as truthful as possible. And when we're telling different types of like cultural stories, and I just hope that as I'm growing as an artist, that I can continue to do that and reaching the level of success that I'm still like, my vision of success is like a child being like, I'm in a spaceship right now and we're traveling on Mars. That's how big it is. It's just like it's so outrageously like abnormal and I have to get there. There's no plan B. There's no looking back because there's nothing to look back to. There's everything to look forward to. Even if I still fail, I'm going to fail forward and keep going. Like after working with doing the Netflix show My Rainy Black Bottom that we did last year with Chadwick, excuse me. Sometimes I stutter. which, yeah, that's one of my flaws right there. When I'm talking,
Oh my
sometimes I go
gosh,
into a stutter.
no.
But after, doing that film and working with Chadwick and Viola Davis and Coleman Domingo, like all these different types of artists, and it was mind blowing watching them work, seeing how they did things and. Being around Chadwick was his energy was so vibrant. He was so open. He was like I just felt like he was like a person I could be like best friends with. Like he was so
Wow.
open and so generous. Everyone on set was actually. So it was just a very honoring experience that I'll never forget. So I just hope
That's
to
so
have,
beautiful.
yeah, I just hope to have as much influence on the world like he did by doing Black Panther or and the many children and the lives that he touched. I just hope to have that type of like embodiment to the world, to leave something behind for generations to come after me.
I mean that I feel like I have chills all over my body, and I don't know if I've ever heard a better de definition of success in my life. I'm trying to think of, like, I want to ask you about big breaks because the podcast title is The Break Breakdown. And I named it that because this podcast is about the making of Screen Test, and it's my story with it and interviews with the actors and all of this. And in my perspective, I was waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen to me. And then I was like, you know what? No, we need to just go. We got to go. We got to do this. And that's why I made Screen Test. And so this idea to me of a big break happening to you or you creating the big break for yourself is something that I'm interested in exploring on a larger level, which is this podcast. So I guess I would be really interested in how you define a big break. Do you think it's something that we're given or it's something that we take for ourselves?
Oh yeah, definitely take for yourself. Nothing's given. In my opinion, nothing's given. An opportunity can be presented. Doesn't mean that you don't have to work hard for it once you get it, unless the person already knows your work and you're like, okay, let's just give it to them. But you still gotta take it when you get the opportunity. You still have to prove yourself once you get it, because you're still not in the door yet fully. And you still have to keep climbing as you're there, because when you get to the top, there's another level of stress. There's like, how can you stay there, but also how can you continue to elevate yourself as a person, as an artist, to keep going over the hurdles and the mountains that you are being presented in front of you. Because it's like if you do good on one film, but then you bomb the other, people are like, oh, are you really an artist? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what I mean? Silencing the noise that comes from negativity and figuring out your truthfulness as a person, which will enhance and ignite your artistry. Because the more you know about things that's happening around you, the more that you can put into the atmosphere of imaginary circumstances, which ignites truthful behavior within your characters, in my opinion. So, like, but yeah, I
I
feel
feel
like,
like,
yes.
no, go,
No,
go,
go. You go. Just kidding.
go. I was just gonna say, I feel like you need to be an acting teacher, among other things. Like you're like, yes, like I'm just sitting here nodding. Yes.
That's funny.
yeah, no, I totally hear that. Nothing's given. And even if you're like, oh, this opportunity is it. I finally made it to, insert outer successful thing. You are still going to be the same you at any level, just trying to live up to your good taste and your ideals and your desire to grow.
And hopefully, with that comes along, and most people don't like to talk about it, but hopefully more financial status for yourself, more financial support for your family, for the people who that rely on you. Because that comes with pressure too. Because people think when you're an artist that things just happen overnight. You don't want to know how many times I was asked. I'm like, oh, you're in New York City for this long. What are you doing? What's happening? This is not happening. Like, I stopped talking to a lot of people based upon like them saying, oh, you're in New York City for this long and still nothing is happening. That means you probably should go back to Rochester. Oh, that means you should not be in my circle. Goodbye. So, because if you think that's how easy it is, well then, honey, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah, you don't understand. You have no idea.
No
It, it's
idea.
it's like they say like every overnight is 10 years in the making, right? Or sorry, every overnight success is 10 years in the making. It's
So
not, it is a long game. And
true.
also, you're not coming to New York to be an artist for 5 years.
Right.
You want a lifetime of it, right? So
That's what I'm
it's like,
saying.
okay, so you worked with Spike Lee on She's Gotta Have It,
Yeah, as an
which
extra
is,
though.
I don't
As
care. I do not care. I don't care what you did on that, like, great.
he's awesome too.
I mean, he is the embodiment of just the most, I feel like he's the most joyful New Yorker there is.
I'm telling
Like,
you, like he would come into on set, crack jokes, and but when it's time to get down to business, he was serious. But he was that was the most that was the most fun and the greatest experience I had at being an extra in the beginning of my like time in New York City. And it was just like, wow, not only was the food bomb and the catering service bomb, but I was just like, he didn't even let us walk to go get our food. We got on a nice fancy bus. And I was just like, yes, my God. But like, it was great. He's awesome.
That's awesome. That makes me feel so good because I feel like that's what I would imagine him to be like, you know, yeah, from his awesome. Outer persona. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Okay, so I knew that you worked with him and he's a human being I really admire. And he had this quote and I want to ask you about it. So it's short. He said, "I think it is very important that films make people look at what they've forgotten." Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, what are the things that we may have forgotten, you know, as adults, as artists, as human beings living in this weird time? What are the things we may have forgotten that we need to remember?
I feel like nothing is forgotten. I think people just store it in a little box, or they disassociate from life, or they pretend like nothing's happening. So I don't believe in anything being forgotten, because I remember every ounce of every part of things that I didn't personally put away into my subconscious. So I feel like if people just start to show each other more love and kindness and empathy and start to spread joy and laughter and, you know, being friends with people who are different than you, and being friends with the people who you call the other or not normal in this fucked up society with everything that's happening. It's just like everyone wants a place that they can call home. Everyone wants a place where they can just feel completely bare bone to the world. And we don't have a chance to get that if we're not allowed to be completely ourselves. And I feel like we have a long way to go in this world, in this country. And I hope that the generations to come, during their time, I hope it's better than what it is now. Because normally what, like Martin Luther King, what he was saying, he was like, the change is not for the now, you hope it is, but it's mainly for the generations after you to benefit from mm-hmm. it. We benefited from their hard work. And so now we're on the shoulders of our ancestors, trying to keep passing that torch forward and then hopefully influencing the masses. Because, you know, what we were saying earlier, I feel like people sometimes mistake that, you know, all lives matter and everything, and they do, but all Black lives have not mattered, period.
Right.
For mm-hmm. a long, long, long time, from the beginning of time. So I think it's just time for a change, and it's time for truthful, like, words to come out and lift people up. And stop looking at people at like how they look or the color of their skin, or maybe they like rock music, but you like R&B. Who cares? To figure out, like, learn what they like from rock, and then maybe they should learn what they like, what you like from R&B. And then you find harmony in that. You find friendships in that. You find different things that you're like, well, I don't hang out with that group of people. Instead of you judging the situation, just immerse yourself in the life of it. There's no way of getting around or finding joy without being immersed in the world that we were all just, you know, happened to be on the same land at the same time.
The thing that's also beautiful, I wish you could see my head, like it's falling off my head. I'm just like, or my neck, I'm just nodding along so much. But yeah, it's incredible to me. Like we're on a floating rock in the middle of space. Like, yeah. can we just be cool? Can we just be Can we just marvel at the fact that we're
Right.
here and
Right.
let it and like let go of the fear and the stupidity and the ignorance and the, yeah, because what you're saying, it's like we have this opportunity for something so beautiful if we would just remember that we have that opportunity.
Right.
So you kind of went there a little bit, but just I want to ask you pointedly for our last question. Where do you find joy?
That's a hard one because I feel like during the process of everything that's been happening, I've been on an emotional roller coaster and going back and forth and maybe having a glimpse of it, but not fully experiencing it. So I'm still finding that besides joy in my artistry, but like I need to, and this is something I was thinking about too during the pandemic, is like knowing who you are besides the artist. Because this and during this pandemic, when things are being taken away and we can't do the things that we normally can as artists, go on auditions, go to class, it's like we have to know who we are and know that we are not just defined by what we create and what we put on film and what we put on stage, but we're more than just that. And that's what I have been, struggling with during this time of like figuring out what are my other skills as just a person. Am I good cooking a steak? Am I good like just figuring out the most mundane things to be like, okay, I didn't know I can do that because I never really gave myself time to even figure that out. So it's within the little things, I guess, and I'm still learning that. I'm still learning where the lining of full capacity of joy right now. But it's there. I gotta hit that little chord, but it's there. When I do my work, it's there. But me as a person, I'm still, finding those moments.
I
But
mean,
it's
yeah, same. And what I found out during this pandemic is that I can kill any plant you give me. I'm
there.
terrible. I'm really bad at it. I should try cooking a steak. well, Luanda, this has been such a just really heartwarming, wonderful chat. And I have to tell you that, your work in Screen Test as Devi is so wonderful. And I have been laughing at you, not at you, but at your takes and everything, through the past however many months that we've been editing it, at however many times I watch through it, it always gets this one part just always gets me without fail. And you were so just dynamic and grounded, and just your character's walking her path in such a I guess grounded and dynamic is what I want to say. It's just in a way that is so distinctive and fun to watch. And working with you on set and in rehearsal, those 2 days that we actually got to be together face to face was such a joy. You're so wonderful to have on set. And I hope that in the future, when we get out of this hellhole of a year, when we can make things again, I hope we can make lots more things together.
Yes, me too. I would love it. And thank you so much for like having me and trusting me with your words and with the character. Thank you. I
Oh
really
man,
appreciate it.
thank you. So I would love for you to tell people where they can find you online or find out more about your work.
Yes. My social media page is Queen L Hop on Instagram, and my Facebook is Lawanda Hopkins. It's LaWandaHopkins HOPKINS for my last name, and that's about it. And my website is LaWandaHopkins.com. LaWandaHopkins.com if you want to check that out. I also do Zumba. Those classes are coming soon. And yeah, to stay in that grind, don't give up and stay focused. Don't let no one throw you off your path, no matter what. That's it.
I feel like I really needed to talk to you today. Like, this has just put me in the best mood. I feel like I can go do anything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, the best thing that you could do is share it with someone. Either text it to a friend who might really enjoy this episode or share on social media. You can tag me at Courtney Romano or at Queensbird Films. That always goes a long way. It means so much. You can also leave me a message, and I hope you do. You can do that by following the link in the show notes. Leave me a message with your thoughts on this episode or another one, some questions you want me to answer, or anything else you want me to know. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.